Remain standing and take your copy of God's Word and turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, and we'll begin reading in verse number 4. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You may be seated. Read a story the other day about a lady who was taking care of a Metropolitan Tabernacle, a church in England. And as she was going about her daily routine, she began noticing that on one of the pews of the sanctuary, there was crumpled up pieces of paper. And after two or three weeks of this happening, she felt a little bold and decided she would see what this was about, and she began opening up these pieces of paper, and one piece of paper said, Mary's ill. Another one said, Bob needs a job. Another one said, my family. And she went to the pastor of the church and explained what was going on and told him that she had been cleaning the facility and found these pieces of paper and didn't know for sure who it was. So the pastor decided he knew the area, knew the people. You know, we pastors, we know where you sit. That's how we take roll on Sunday morning, all right? So he decided that he would go and he would ask some people he knew sat around that area to see if he could find out who this person was leaving these wadded up sheets of paper, strips of paper on the pew. And sure enough, after a few weeks, he went back to the parishioners that he had talked to and they gave him a name, and he asked this lady to come to his office and then had a conversation with her and began to ask her, why are you leaving these strips of paper with these names on it? And she just kind of chuckled. She smiled. She said, I read somewhere where it says, take your request and your troubles to church with you. And she said, so what I decided to do is I take my requests and my troubles with me to church and I leave them there. And I just feel God's going to take care of. And sometimes we need to understand when it comes to this idea of being transformed by prayer, that God is on your side. I know we all face troubles, we all face circumstances in life that we feel like we're going through it alone. But can I assure you this morning, you're not going through it alone. Oftentimes we try to see how far we can go on our spiritual tanks, don't we? A friend of mine some years ago, his name's Pete Hookinga. Some of you know Pete. I was riding with him, and I looked over at his gas gauge and said, Pete, don't you think you need to get some gas? He said, oh, no. He said, I probably got another 30, 40 miles. I said, Pete, it's on E. He said, I know. He said, there's a game we started playing years ago with some of my Air Force buddies to see how far we could go on a tank of gas without filling up. Well, I thought that was kind of cool. I have literally coasted into a gas station thinking that was cool. Not so much. One time was with my wife, and she let me know how uncool that really was. And, you know, just to show you the consistency in my life, because I know you wonder about the pastors. He's the same always. Has he always been consistent? I want to show you a picture here. Look at that gas gauge. Yeah, that's the E. And the needle's below the red line. I know you're not supposed to text and drive. I texted this picture to Brenda. I said, you're not going to believe this. Look how, I think I may run out of gas, and I'm telling you this in case you have to come and bail me out. Now, really, do you think she'd come bail me out? No. To tell you, if you're stupid enough not to put gas in your car, I will let you run out of gas. Maybe you'll remember next time. But I made it to the gas station and filled it up, and it's always more comfortable to ride when your gas gauge looks like that, right? Now, I share this with you because I think sometimes we as Christians trying to see how far we can go on our spiritual tank without refueling. Sometimes we go through life and we think, oh, we can handle this, and we don't make the connection of the praying every day and praying without ceasing. Some of you do, and I know that, but some of us as Christians, we see how far we can go on our spiritual tank. Can I tell you this, and just mark this down? When it comes to staying spiritually full, you will not be able to stay spiritually filled up if you're not spiritually prayed up. And God wants us to talk with Him. God wants us to make our requests known to Him. And some of you are thinking, well, preacher, I thought you preach and you believe that God knows everything. I do. And He does. So why do I have to, if He knows I have a need, why do I have to pray about it? Why do I need it? Because He wants you to. He admonishes us to. In our passage that we read, what does he say? It says, first of all, he says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Now that right there sometimes is a tall order for some Christians. I've been around some of those, and some of you, this really, you ought to start making this your life verse. I'm telling you, it will help you. All right? But notice what he goes on to say. He says, let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, what does he say? By prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, what does he say? Let your requests be made known to God. So the first thing that I want you to see this morning is that there's an admonition to pray. We are encouraged to pray. We are challenged to pray. The disciples, and just a couple weeks ago in our Bible study in Matthew, where the disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. And the Lord gave them a template for prayer. And here, Paul writing to the Christians, to the church at Philippi, and he says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Now, when I look at this passage and I see the admonition of prayer, there are a couple of things that I want to point out to you. First of all, pray connectively. And let me explain what I mean by that. Sometimes there's a disconnect in prayer. Because sometimes there are things that are going on in our life, we say, it's not that big, I really don't need to pray about that. Sometimes I've heard people say this, I know God's busy. He's too busy. I really don't know that He would hear me. I don't know that, you know, what I'm going through is all that important. When I look around and I see what other people are going through, and it just kind of, what I'm going through may pale in comparison to what they're going through. And that may be true from a human point of view. And as we look at it, and if you were to weigh the scales and you're just thankful that you're not having to deal with some of the issues this individual's having to deal with. But nonetheless, it doesn't negate that God tells us in His Word through the Apostle Paul writing to the Philippians that we're to let our requests be made known to God. Now here's the connection part. What does he say? What request, what part of life are we to pray about? What does he say? In everything. In everything. Everything. He didn't say some things. He didn't say the important things or what you deem important. He didn't say the things that really stress you out. Even though those are good requests to be made known to God, I will agree with that. But he says, in everything. And this is where the disconnect comes. Because I've known Christians and know people who say they have walked with the Lord for umpteen years and will make a career decision without ever praying about it. will make a life-changing decision without ever praying about it. We'll have a situation in their life that they'll talk to everybody else about it to get their counsel on, but they'll never pray about it. And yet, we find in God's word where he says, in everything. Make the connection here. First of all, in praying in everything, that tells us one thing. When God says in his word that in everything, by prayer and supplication, make your request known to God. First of all, that tells us, number one, God is interested in you. He's interested in what you're going through. He wants your relationship to flourish. He wants you to grow in your relationship with him. He's interested in what you're going through, how big it is or how small it is. He says, in everything. Don't have a disconnect in your prayer life. In everything. So when we look at this, first of all, it says, pray connectively. Secondly, pray continuously. Now, we've joked before, and it really is no joke, that if you drive on 820, you're going to pray continuously. We are to have an attitude of prayer in our life. And what I mean by an attitude of prayer, it's not that you walk around with your hands folded and your head bowed all the time, because if you're not careful, you'll run into a wall if you do that, all right? But an attitude of prayer is that at a moment's notice, your prayer life is in tune with God, and you know that at a moment's notice, you can be driving down the road, and the Lord will impress something on your heart, and you know at that moment's notice, you can go to him in prayer. Amen. Eyes wide open, keeping your eyes on the road, and you can just talk to the Lord. What he says, in everything. When you read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, pray without ceasing. Now, if you pray without ceasing, then there's a good chance that in everything, you're making your request made known to God. What does Paul write in Ephesians? Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. He says, praying always. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Praying always. Now, in the context, you begin to see who he's admonishing them to pray for. But there's a principle here that we should be in. Pray without ceasing. We should be praying in everything. There should be a connection there. There should be a continuous attitude in our life that we pray about everything continually. Not in the sense of, I'm going to pray now and then I'll see how far I can run on that one. And when your tank is absolutely empty and you don't understand why things are happening the way they are, and you don't understand why you're getting stressed out over things, and you become very anxious about life and what's going on, listen to me, it's because there's a good chance you may not be praying in everything, and you may not be praying continuously. You're saying, preacher, you do this all the time? I wish I could say to you, I am 100% all the time praying and not being anxious about anything. But I'm human too. But every time I read this passage, every time I study this passage, I am convicted in my heart and in my soul that I need to be about this just as much as anybody else, because I'm one of his children. He says, pray always. Let me tell you, there's a lot of things going on in our world and in our culture and our society that it's easy to get anxious about some of those things. But I'm glad I can go to the Lord and leave it with him. And notice what he says. He says, when we make our request, in Philippians chapter 4, he talks about this, when we make our request known to the Lord, notice what he says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So that brings me to a third thought. Not only pray connectively, not only pray continuously, but pray confidently. Again, verse 6. He says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Our confidence is not in what we can do. Our confidence is not how we can figure it out. Our confidence is in what God can do. What God will do. David said, he said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed begging bread. God is always at work in our life. He works on our behalf. Even when we don't see it, God is at work. The Hebrew writer in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 through 16, he talks about a priest that we have that has been touched by the feelings of our infirmities. He knows what we go through, and he says, therefore, let us come boldly to the throne that we may obtain grace and mercy to help in time of need. Now, I know you've never had time of need in your life. I look over this crowd. Y'all look really prosperous this morning. But there's been some needs in my life. And he says we can come confidently. We can come boldly to his throne. We let our requests be made known, not to our spouse, not to the pastor, but we let them be made known to God. Because he can always do something about it. Amen? Amen? Now, doesn't mean it's always going to happen like we want it to happen. Right? Let me ask you this. When your kids were little, those of you who raised children, when your kids were little, did you give them every request that they made? No, because who knew what was best for them? The parent knows what's best for them. There's some requests that they make, and you say, you know, that's a good thing. Yes, I'm going to give it to them. And as they get older, there's some requests that come that you say, you know what, that's just, can I stay out to 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning? You know, that's just not a good thing. My parents always told me this, and I pass it along to my sons. They didn't listen very well, but that I pass it on to them. Nothing happens good after midnight. So you be in by midnight. Why? Because parents, we've been down the road. We know. Our Heavenly Father knows all. He sees all. And he knows what's best for us. He knows what will grow us. He knows what will mold us. He knows what will shape us. He knows what will come in our life that will make us be more conformed to the image of his Son. He knows what requests he needs to supply for us. He knows what needs that need to be met for us. He knows all. And he says, you come. Let your requests be made known. You see, too oftentimes we, as God's people, when God doesn't answer like we want him to answer, we think, well, it's over. God just doesn't love me. God just doesn't hear me. No. Are you saying God cannot hear your prayer? God hears every prayer you pray. He hears the ones that he answers. He hears the ones he doesn't answer like you want him to. Just because he doesn't answer like you want him to doesn't mean he's not answering. That may be his answer. Just like our kids, when we say no, not going to do that. Can't let you do that. I know you know there's probably a granddaughter illustration coming because we were up in Virginia this week with our granddaughter. But there's some things that she wanted that mom and dad just didn't let her do. Why? Because they knew it wasn't good for her. I noticed this time when I went to their house, you know, she's getting where she's standing up now. She hadn't started walking, but I noticed when I walked into Devin and Jessica's house this time, every plug has a cover on it. Remember I told y'all about her trying to plug the iron in and at the electrical socket just a couple when they were here? I thought that was, I was proud of my son that he ordered those off of Amazon and got that taken care of. But why? Because they know what's best for her. And God knows more than any parent knows for their child. God knows what's best for you. Amen. And what's best for me. There have been times, there have been prayers that I have offered up and did not understand why God didn't answer it the way that I thought it should be answered. Only to be reminded that He's God. And I didn't always have to understand. I have to trust. But in the midst of that, even when the prayers are not answered, we can still have confidence that God is doing and working for our best interest. There's been situations, and as a pastor and pastoring this church now for 20-something years, that there's been times I've sat with different men and different leaders of our church and talked through some things, and I would tell them, no amens on this, okay, please, you'll hurt my feelings. I said, I'm not smart enough to be figure something like this out. But God always works on our behalf, even when we don't see it. I can tell you, and I told you last week, God is always faithful, even when we're not. Some of you may know the name George Mueller. Some of you may not. So I'll tell you a little bit about George Mueller. George Mueller was a pastor, evangelist in England. And for several years, pastored different congregations. And through some health issues, some things that transpired in his life, didn't understand why, he ended up in Bristol, England. And through that process, through what had happened and the organization that he was working for, a Christian organization, and where he was preaching, because of his health, he wanted to stay on, but he wanted them to give him a little bit of liberty in what he felt God would want him to do. And they just said, George, that's not going to work for us. Didn't know why, but here's what happened. As a result of that, he'd gone over to Bristol, England, and began preaching, and God laid on his heart to start an orphanage. And he took his home and he fixed it up where he and his wife could house 30 girls. And it wasn't long till it was completely full. And these orphans, they got an education. They were taken care of. They had 3 warm meals a day. They had a roof over their head. It wasn't long until another person within the community donated to him another house, and he fixed it up for boys. To make a long story short, throughout his time at Ashley Down Orphanage, they had over 10,000 children come through the orphanage. The number is 10,024. And George Mueller, here's what he was really known for. It wasn't the orphanage, it was his faith in God. There's stories in his biography how literally he had set all the children down for breakfast, not having anything in the cupboards or anything in the kitchen to feed over 300 kids, and sit there at breakfast and pray. And by the time he finishes his prayer, there's a knock at the door. And a local baker delivers enough bread to feed all the children. And just about the time they get through with the bread, there's a knock at the door. And there's a milkman whose wagon broke down, and the milk was going to spoil, so he gave it to the orphanage. You don't think God was working on their behalf? One story in particular that stood out. We talk about praying confidently. George Mueller wrote in his biography the story about how they had come to a place where the funds had been exhausted. Little children depending on the ability of the ministry there to be able to supply food for them and an education for them and all these things, but the funds had run out. And he began to pray. And for 4 days he prayed, asking God to supply the need. And on the fourth day, there was a knock at the door. And it was a lady with a check to meet the needs that they had with resources left over. But that's not the interesting part. You see, God was already working on their behalf because she started her journey 4 days prior. Mueller didn't know. God knew. We've told you about how God has met the needs of members in our own church for mission trips and different things. And we have to always understand, when we talk about praying connectively, we have to understand God is always at work in our life, even when we don't see it. Even when he doesn't answer the way we think he ought to answer, we should still pray confidently that what his answer is, whether it's yes, I'll meet the need, I'll heal, I'll do whatever is according to my will, I'll do it, or if he says he's just silent about it. We can still have confidence in that silence that God is at work in our lives and in our behalf and for our interests and what's best for us. Sometimes we like to rush things, don't we? You see, we live in an instant culture. We have instant oatmeal. We have instant this, and we have fast food. Britt and I, we were coming from Virginia yesterday. We flew out at 5:48 Virginia time from Lynchburg. We landed in Charlotte at 7, had to walk across the Charlotte airport and be on another plane by 7:50. And if you know these days, they shut the plane, they close the gates 10 minutes before the departure time these days. They start boarding 30 minutes early. So that really only gave us about 15 minutes to walk across the airport, and we hadn't eaten since lunch. And we weren't going to land till 9:48 or 9:30 at DFW. So, I mean, we're hoofing it through the airport, and thank the Lord for Jesus Chicken. You know what that is. Chick-fil-A, right? I mean, we're in a line, we get our food, and literally we walk to the gate, group five, we walk on the plane with our Chick-fil-A. So I'm not hating on fast food. I was talking to Brother Gary Phillips. This has been some years ago. And those of you who know Brother Gary worked for McDonald's Corporation for many years. And Brother Gary, he said, the goal is when a person gets in line that within 3 minutes they have placed the order and they're on their way. And I've been in a lot of McDonald's where that happens. You taste the food, you understand why, but that's a whole other deal, all right? But I'm just kidding. If you see this on Facebook, McDonald's, don't sue us or anything, all right? But, you know, I understand everything. When we get conditioned that way, and we take our prayer life that way, that we want God to answer right now. And when he doesn't, we think, well, he doesn't listen to me. He doesn't care about what I'm going through. When that's the farthest thing from the truth. And he says, let our request be made known to God. And the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds. We're to pray according to his will, 1 John chapter 5. So we have the admonition to pray. Pray connectively. Pray continuously. Pray confidently. And our time is gone this morning. And we'll talk about next week the approach to prayer. Listen to me. I don't know what you're going through today. I don't know what prayer request you've made known to God. And you just feel like he hadn't answered you. And maybe he's already answered you, but just not in the way you thought he ought to answer you. Can I challenge you this morning with the intent to encourage you this morning? God loves you. God wants what's best for you. And his no's or his delays doesn't mean he doesn't care for you. Maybe he's trying to get you to trust him. Maybe he's trying to get you to have a little more patience. Maybe he's trying to get you to a place to mature you and to grow you, to make you more conformed to the image of his son. So, preacher, I just don't know how much more I can take. I know. God does, though. That's why you can pray confidently, knowing he does all things well. With heads bowed and eyes closed.